So we talked about Welcome to the Family, right? And we talked about the significance of family, and a lot of you told Gene what you thought that family meant to you. August, can you grab my water and bring it up here? Is everybody staying cool, by the way? Because it's hot. It is very hot. You know, we talked about family. We talked about welcome to the family. And, you know, we as Christians, as believers, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we are saved and set free and delivered and we make him the Lord of our life, we now belong to the family of God. That's what we've been talking about, right? But here's the thing. Not everyone is a son or daughter of God. Everyone is made in God's image, right? We, as humanity, we're created in God's image. But only those who have received Christ as their Savior are adopted into the family of God. And I love that song that they sung this morning about being adopted, like Gene was even talking about last night, that we're adopted into the family of God. You know, that's what that means. That invitation is there for everyone to receive. But it's your choice, right? You get to make that decision. And then when you do, that's when you're a child of God. And how many know that family matters? Right? Raise your hand. Does family matter? It matters, right? Raise your hand. Do you get to pick your family? I mean, some of us, we probably wish we could pick somebody else. I remember when I was your age, thinking like my friends, they all went to church and they all had these godly parents, and I was like, I wish I had that. I remember growing up wishing that my mom, my dad went to church with me. Why does my family not look like that? You know, and that might be you in here today. Maybe you grew up in church your whole life and this is all you've ever known. But there are a lot of your friends, if you go to school and you look around, we all have different stories, different backgrounds. Not all of us have that family life that's great. So when we think of family matters, and then what if your family isn't so great? It makes it hard, right? It makes it hard to, I mean, that's the thing I struggled with as a teenager. It makes it hard to do what, to be nice to your siblings. It makes it hard to walk in a way that, you know, shows love and everything, when your family maybe isn't that way. Maybe your family is abusive. Maybe you've gone through some things in your family life that are hard, and it makes it hard. But family matters. Belonging to the family of Christ matters, because family in general is not just the kingdom of God, but like in different cultures and different backgrounds and nations and regions, like family's a big part of culture. It's a big part in other countries. It's something, it gives us a sense of identity, right? It gives us a sense of belonging. It gives us a sense of purpose, of comfort, and it gives us a sense of grounding. And that's important because I think it answers some of life's biggest questions, like, who am I? Who are we? And family helps to shape that identity and that. You know, Ethan did an ancestry test, and, you know, you can learn a lot about your family, about your history. Like, he had no idea that he was Scottish. You know, it's kind of cool. You get to, you know, identity, and it helps shape that. And you get to see, like, your family background from centuries ago. It's kind of cool. It gives you that sense of who you are, like, where you came from. And, you know, has anybody else ever done that test? I haven't, and I really want to, because I'm Italian, but I don't think I'm as Italian as I think that I am. You know, you get to see what different parts of you, you know, what makes you, I guess. But it's kind of cool when he did that. I was like, I need to do that too. Because I was like, if you're Scottish, I must be something else then, you know? So, but we also want to know, like, where do we fit in? You know, and family answers that with that place of belonging. We want to know why we matter, and family supplies that purpose to us. We want to know, like, am I safe? Okay? And family and community, it gives us that sense of comfort as well as that sense of grounding. And now, like I said, maybe your family at home, it doesn't look like this. Maybe community right now doesn't look like that. Maybe you don't feel like you fit in, or you don't feel like you're safe, or that you don't know like what's stable, or you matter, or that you know who you are. And they're helping you shape you in that way. But the family of God does affirm in all of those things. I want you to know that, that our identity, our belonging, our purpose, our comfort, and our grounding, and not only that is that what the family of God does, but as people who belong to the family of Christ, us, we are to cultivate that environment. You right here, you in this room, as children of God, we are to cultivate that environment to everyone around us. So not only are we meant to belong in a place like that, but we are to be the people who build up a place like that. Who we are and whose we are, where we fit in, and what our purpose is. Knowing that we belong to God and our purpose in relationship with Him, but also vocationally in spreading the gospel. That we're safe in showing up and being vulnerable. Bill talked about that last night. You know, being able to be vulnerable in church is a huge thing. I mean, how many of us can even be vulnerable with our family? Many of us don't feel like we can go to our family and be vulnerable to them. So community matters. It matters. And the one thing I want to talk about this morning is human nature. And if you'll pull up that scripture, Jack, Galatians 1:26. You know, we are made in the image of God. We're relational by nature. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And I want to focus on that first part there. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And even just looking at this, we get a glimpse of the Trinity, don't we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, three in one. You know, they're coexistent, co-eternal, and co-equal. Christianity is monotheistic. It's that we believe in one God, we worship one God who is revealed in three persons. And that might seem confusing to you, but we're going to learn a little more about the Holy Spirit. I won't get into all of that because we're going to learn way more about that in a few days, okay? But it's just cool that it's just a blanket way to describe their relationship and the importance and the essence of who God is right there in that scripture. But look at that. We can draw this truth, right? That being made in God's image, it's no wonder that we're communal by nature. And we desire to belong to something, to belong somewhere. God, right? That's who we should want to. I want to look at Genesis 2:18. We got a lot of scripture, but it's really short, and I think it ties in well with what we're going to be talking about, you know? In Genesis 2:18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And I love this verse for one. It's because it says that it's not good for man to be alone. Whether you're an introvert or you're an extrovert. My introverts in here, raise your hand. Who's an introvert in here? Bill? Okay. That's what I say too. So all of you are extroverts. Do you guys know what that means? That means that you're outgoing and you love to talk and you love to be, you're not shy. That's an extrovert. You're extroverted. What about introverted? Who would die before they had to get up here and speak? Raise your hand. Maybe. Okay, so we do have some introverts in here. Huh? But even us introverted people, we need community. We need real, true, honest, solid, grounded, godly community. Whether you're outgoing or you're ingoing, we need that. It's good for us, right? The Lord God said it's not good for man to be alone, so we're relational by nature. We desire community. We desire to belong to community. And I said there are two sides to human nature that I want to talk about, one being relational and the other part being free will. Like, we do have free will. You know, God doesn't make us worship him, right? We get to choose if we want to do what God says. We get to choose. We have a choice. God's not just up there playing puppet and making us do things that we, you know, that he wants us to do. He's walking that life with us. He's walking that journey with us. But sometimes, I just want to touch on this just a little bit. Sometimes when we have free will, it does breed sin because we get to do what we want. Sin, and the reason why I bring up sin, we know that, you know, as a grace church, as the it is finished groundwork that we do, we know that Jesus dealt with sin on the cross. It is done. It is finished. Like, we are no longer bound by that, right? But I want to talk about sin because a lot of times we don't want to focus on it, and we shouldn't focus on sin, but we got to realize that sin does isolate us. It can isolate you. It often isolates us to do life alone, and in that isolation that the enemy tries to come in and be our closest confidant. I know that in my own life, when I was living in sin, and I was in rebellion against what God said was good and what he wanted me to do, you know, I know that in my Christian community, I stiff-armed them, right? I stiff-armed them, and I wasn't as vulnerable or open with them. And it wasn't that God withdrew from me. I stiff-armed them because I was in that sin, and I isolated myself. It had nothing to do with God. God was right there with me. He's not afraid of our sin. He's not going to, you know, condemn you or anything like that. I want to get that clear. But the reason I even bring this up is, like, I think it's important to know that, you know, because people, if we stiff arm them and we're in isolation, it leaves seats open at our table for the enemy to come in. And what does that do? It just leads to destruction in our life, right? And we know that sin is just missing the mark. It's not a big deal. Sin's been dealt with. But the reason I bring it up is because family, you don't want to feel isolated in family. And sometimes that's what sin does. And I have my Gen Z Bible here. You know, as a youth pastor, I guess I didn't really introduce myself. I am the youth pastor for GGTI. You don't even have to do that. Everybody knows you pick up these little things and it's so weird to mew. Actually, where's August? He told me, absolutely do not mew in front of anybody or I will walk out, but he's still here. So everybody mew for him. Everybody go. If you have a middle school kid, you're going to know what that means, okay? If you're a youth pastor, you're going to know what mewing is. If you are a substitute teacher or a teacher that works with children, you're going to know what mewing is. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I love watching you guys do all that weird stuff, yes. So I got a Gen Z Bible. It makes me laugh, okay? But it can be really, it's pretty accurate. I don't teach from it. It's just for fun, you know? It's just fun to stay in the loop with everything that's going on, be relational and all of that. But I'm going to read the non-Gen Z version here real quick. Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And then, let's read the Gen Z version, all right? Is it up there? Here, I'm going to have someone read it so you sound cooler than me.
So here's the scoop. Sin entered the scene through one dude, and death tagged along because of sin. Now death's vibe spread to everyone, cause of all of us have sinned. Is that all?
What do you guys think of that? Is that a little more, can you understand that better than the other version that I gave you? We need a Gen Alpha version, don't we? Yeah. But, you know, basically saying everyone has sinned, right? We've all done things in our life. We're not perfect. We've all done things in our life that we're not proud of. We've all taken roads that weren't so great, maybe roads that God didn't actually lay out for us, but we find ourselves on those roads, right? And I had some volunteers make their little sign for me. And if you guys will take that sign and come up, just start making your way up here. You know, take a look around, okay? Think about what your sign would read right now. If we've done things in our life that maybe we're not proud of, but look, I love my kid. I wouldn't change this for nothing. He's standing right there. There's nothing I regret, right? I don't want you to think that. That boy right there, that man, I am so proud of him. Yes, I was a teen mom, and yes, things were hard, and maybe that wasn't, you know, maybe I made some decisions, right? But I'm here to say, like, look around here. Look at these leaders. These are your leaders right here. These are your teachers. These are people that love Jesus. You know, we're going into identity today. We're going into who we are in Christ. Do you think that this defines him? Do you think that Annalisa is unworthy? Do you think that Kenny is an addict? Look at these things right here. We all have a story. We all have something that maybe at one time could quote unquote define us. I love it. Suicide, compromise, rebellion. We've all done things that maybe we weren't proud of, but it didn't define who we are. Look, he's standing right here today. He's got the marks to prove it. Like, we all have a story to tell. We've all been through some junk. And I want to say, when I talk about sin, I don't want you to think that, man, I screwed up, so that's the end for me. No, you screwed up, but God's still got a purpose for you. God's still got a story. He's still going to meet you right where you are. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Christ. He's with you on that journey right where you are. Maybe you've had sex before. Maybe you do drugs. Maybe you're mean. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we do that maybe we shouldn't do. Like God says is not good. And it's not because, you know, you're going to hell and all of that. No, it's because it destroys you. That's what sin does, is it takes your life, and God has a purpose. It goes against what he has, a call on your life. Like she put abandoned. Look at that. How many of us feel like we've been abandoned one time or another in our life? I know I have. I didn't have a father in my home. I got to see him once a year, and I felt abandoned. You know, you feel like that. You know, I'm divorced. I felt abandoned. And I think that, you know, a lot of times that these things, we take on these identities as they're us, but they're not us. They're just things, life happens, but God's going to be through, like, with you through it all. So you guys can sit down. I just wanted to give you a little visual, okay? A little visual. You know, a sin initially disqualified us by our own means, by our own merits, by our own workings and doings. But this is what I love about Romans 6:23. Go ahead and put that up. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the gospel, y'all. Like, I'll even, like, let's read the Gen Z version right here. Go ahead and put that up there. Sin's payment plan is death, but God's gift is the real deal. Eternal life through our dude, Jesus Christ. That's the rundown. You like that? I know. I love this Bible. You guys should get a Gen Z Bible. Maybe another Bible, too. Just all the Bible translations. Just, I love what Bill does. You just get them all, and you just, you know, let God speak through you through all of it, right? I want to look at John 1:12. "Yet all who did receive him, to all those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." When we receive and believe in him, friends, we get the right of being a child of God. And in Galatians 3:26, I know I got a lot of scripture, but it's so good. It says, "So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith." You know, our adoption into being sons of God, like Gene talked about. We're going to skip through some stuff. You know, just like they had these signs up here. You know, our adoption into being sons and daughters of God, it's not determined by what family we come from. It's not determined by our culture or our background. It's not our performance or our past, right? It's simply by God's grace and mercy through Jesus that if we believe in him, our Lord and Savior, and we choose to commit to our lives to him and believe in him, then, you know, we're free. We're saved. We're adopted into that family. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, then he is a new creation, has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, your past, the things that you, maybe you're even struggling with today, they have been covered by the cross. They have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and the new has come. And you get to walk in that newness of life with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is within you. Say that to your neighbor right there. The Holy Spirit is within you. And Jesus is beside you. And God goes before you and behind you. He's got you covered. You get to walk in confidence that you belong in the family of God. You do, right? You know, we have a little bit of time. I want to talk about a couple of things. I believe that we're marked by three key attributes as children of God. I really believe that as Christians belonging to the family of God, that we are marked by loving one another. Right? That's one. We're also marked by bearing each other's burdens, too. And we're marked by being welcoming to one another. I want to talk about those three things. And the first one is loving one another. We get to love one another and showcase this love because Christ first loved us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Love is the marking of a true believer, friends. And John 13:34, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, this is so important because it's this command that Christ gives us to love one another. And to love people is the way that he loved us. What it would be like, what? Doing it unconditionally and sacrificially. You guys know what that means? Like, a lot of you will, you're friends with someone, you love someone if they love you back, right? Or if they betray you, your love has stipulations, your love has limits. You know, you can cut people off if you want to, and sometimes God will want you to do that, but like, to do it unconditionally is without strings attached, right? Belonging to the family, belonging to the kingdom of God, and just being a representative of Christ, it looks like loving one another in love. And love looks like a whole bunch of things. Love looks like showing up. Love looks like listening. Love looks like supporting and comforting. Right? What does love look like? It looks like a lot of things. We can show love in a lot of ways. And you guys all receive love in different ways, too. Everything surrounding love can fall under the umbrella of sacrifice. Everything should look like unconditional. That should be the motive in unconditional type of love. There's no expectations. There's no agenda, right? True love looks like surrender and sacrifice for the sake of others. And this is evident in the works of Christ, the apostles, the disciples, the early church, and how Christian culture should look like today. What the church should be and always should have supposed to have been, right? And the second one is bearing one another's burdens. To belong in the family of Christ, it looks like bearing one another's burdens. Well, what does that mean? What is bearing one another's burdens? Look at Galatians 6:2. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, every one of you right now is carrying a burden. I'm carrying a burden. Bill's carrying a burden. You're carrying a burden. No. You could have threw that on me. I was getting a little hot up here. But we're all going through something. We're all carrying a burden, right? You know, even in the Bible for Moses, it was his friends holding up his staff when he was in battle with the Amalekites. It was for Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross up the hill so he could bear our burden on the cross. Like, Jesus had help too. Simon of Cyrene, he helped Jesus. We all need someone to help us with our burdens at times. We're not meant to take on a person's problems as our own. I don't want you guys to think that. You know, that can lead to codependency and other issues. Like, we have to have boundaries. Don't take them on as yourself and try to take on their problems, but it's okay to help someone out in need. Like, you guys, as children of God, as the family of Christ, we should be lifting each other up. We should be helping each other. And the last thing is being welcoming to one another. We are to invite people into the kingdom of God, to invite people into the family of God, to invite people to church, to be inviting, to be welcoming. You know, no one wants to go anywhere where you're not invited. I know, okay, my mom, okay, she would show up to functions and events and just show up uninvited. And I'm like, no. She's like, are you going to so-and-so's shower? I wasn't invited. I'm not going. Like, who likes to show up and not be invited? That's not me. I want to be invited. If you want me to be there, invite me, right? I don't know. That's just how I feel. But, you know, some people just show up. I'm not one of those people. I want to be invited. If I'm invited, I know that I'm wanted. Even a text. I don't even have to get an invitation. Just tell me, hey, you want to come? Okay, cool. You know? But everyone's invited to the kingdom of God. I would not be here doing what I'm doing right now had I not been invited to church, you guys. I saw this interesting TikTok, and it said this. Did you know that only 6 to 8% of people walk into a church? Like, just happen to walk into a church. 6 to 8%, okay? Now, there's about 2 to 3% that like a program that they saw was offered at that church. Someone saw it on somewhere, and they're like, oh, cool, that sounds cool, I'm going to go, okay? There's about 8 to 10% that are like the pastor. I wish it was more, Bill, but 8 to 10% is about the only percentage that's like, ooh, I heard about that pastor, I'm going to go to that church, right? That's only just a small portion. Guess what the largest portion? 70 to 85% of people that attend church, guess what? They were invited. Invited by who? By their friends, by their family. 70 to 85% of church people were invited by their friends. And I believe that 1,000% because that is the reason I even went to church. I didn't grow up in church. I was invited by my friends. I was like, all right, I guess I'll tag along. And I fell in love because it changed me from the inside out. I was like, this is what I've been missing this whole time. Like, are you telling me right now? Like, Jesus is this good? Like, I encourage you guys, invite people to church. People want to belong. They want to feel they want to be invited, right? And then I saw this other it really hurt me a little bit actually reading this because it said only 2% of church members invite people to church. Once you've been going, I don't know how real this is. It was a TikTok, but you can go look it up later. But 2% of already churchy people, only 2% actually go invite someone else to church. I think that, you know, as a family of God, like, we got to do a better job of being welcoming to one another. It's so important to reach out, to be that friend, to be that support, to be like, hey, you should come to church. Like, that is what gets people to church right there. You never know what that little invitation is going to change their life. Because I would not be here right now had I not been invited to church. I fully believe, I mean, maybe God might have put someone else in my path along the way. But I'm telling you how important it is, not only for you guys, but adults as well. We got to be welcoming. We got to be inviting. And everyone is welcome to be a part of the family. But the thing is that people, we have to respond to the invitation. And it's not your job to convict or convince. You know, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And I'm not saying that we need to be tolerant of everything, all right? So what we're supposed to be is the church should be full of broken people. Getting better together, right? To do life together. If you go to church and you're like, well, these don't look like a bunch of church people. Come to my church. I mean, you're going to look around and you're going to see a bunch of imperfect people, right? Because we're not perfect, but we're getting better together. God's on a journey with us. And I'm not saying that we have to be tolerant of everything and be accepting of certain things and in the sense of negating what Scripture says and what God says to be good for us. You know, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we need to be understanding that people are walking the way of life that they are right now. That your friends, they're all walking a different journey than you. They're all going through some stuff in life. And they're struggling in the way of life that they're in right now. But it's the Holy Spirit that transforms. It's not our job to do that, okay? You know, I remember working at Walmart, and this girl, she knows I'm a Christian because I play all kinds of Christian music. And, you know, people should be able to tell that we're Christians, I think, right? We should be able to tell that you're a Christian. So she's like, Amanda, I'm thinking about going to church, but I got to get my life together first. And I was like, what? Like, look, just come. That's what that means right there. It's not that I'm accepting and telling her that, yeah, she should go sin. But what I'm saying is that God meets us where we're at. And that's what I told her. It's sad to me that so many people don't feel welcome in the church because they're going through some stuff in their life. And it's your job as believers to remind them that, look, none of us have it together. It doesn't give you an excuse to keep staying in that sin and keep being in that pity of your own self-doubt, pity mountain that you've created. Like, I'm not saying you should be there, but what I'm saying is that God meets us where we're at, okay? And it's not your job to get your friends saved. It's your job to show love, to be welcoming, to be that inviting to them so that they can be transformed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the job, not us. But that's really all that I wanted to say today. I want you guys to know that you guys are welcome here. You guys are family. And, you know, just seeing you guys just loving on each other, it's amazing. And I want you guys to take that from here, what you've learned in this camp, and take it out of these, out of this territory. Take it out into your schools. Take it out in your family. Take it out, you know, to your brothers and sisters. I know that they're a pain. My sister was the meanest sister I've ever had. Like, she was really hard to live with growing up. It was rough. But she's the one that brought me to church the first time, you know? So I encourage you guys, show love to one another. Do those three things. You know that you are in the family of Christ.